Hello, and welcome to Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. Diabetes Dialogue is a monthly podcast hosted by myself, Dr. Natalie Bellini, and Dr. Diana Isaacs, providing a regular news roundup of the latest clinically applicable insights across diabetes and metabolic diseases, with a focus on leveraging technology to improve diabetes care. Produced by HCP Live Endocrinology, the audio version of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives is available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, with a video version available only on hcplive.com.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. I'm Diana Isaacs, and I'm with the amazing Natalie Bellini. And this is a very special episode because we are live in the studio. So normally we're on the Zoom. So we're really excited to be here with the green screen and everything. So today, what we would like to talk about is very exciting news, recent FDA approval of Beta Bionics iLet insulin pump. And also, we're going to talk a little bit about insulin pumps for type 2 diabetes. So Natalie, can you fill us in? What is this news? What is Beta Bionics? What is the iLet?
So this is big news. And why is it big news? Because this will actually be our third AID system on the market. So is that our fourth? I'm sorry. Is that really big, right? We have Tandem. We have Omnipod 5 now. We have Medtronic. And now here we are with Beta Bionics. But Beta Bionics is using a different algorithm where you enter the patient's weight, the person with diabetes weight, and it goes, right? So, and then when it's time to give insulin for meals, you say, I'm having a small meal, a medium meal, or a large meal. So carbohydrate counting, insulin sensitivity numbers as a clinician, those all go away for programming. But for the person with diabetes, it, you know, ultimately the goal is to make it as easy as possible and less intrusive in that person's life.
Yeah, I mean, it really is so unique. And we were fortunate to be one of the sites in the clinical trial. And so this is the single hormone, insulin only. And then in the future, they're studying the dual hormone, which I think you guys are doing at your site with the glucagon and the insulin. But what's like so amazing about this is with traditional insulin pumps, right, you have a bunch of different basal rates. And then you set carbohydrate ratios and correction factors, and you have to set the insulin action time and things like the maximum dose of insulin and all of these different settings, which if you're not used to working with insulin pumps all the time, it can feel like a lot of things, both for the person with diabetes, but also for the healthcare team, the healthcare provider. It's like, well, gosh, what do I put in for these settings? So you're exactly right. It is just that you put in the weight. You just need to know the person's weight. And then you can make sure the CGM is connected, which at this time is going to be with Dexcom G6. And it's Go Bionic. You Go Bionic and it just learns you. And exactly to your point, for meals, you just put in usual, less or more. So it's really designed to be truly just simplistic.
And I think when we think about that aspect of it, we recognize both of us work in endocrinology centers. So we see lots of people with diabetes. Lots of people with type 1 and type 2 never, ever get to a diabetes and endocrinology or metabolic care center. They don't get there. Either they live in rural areas or they don't have access or they're never referred and they're seen by primary care. And if a primary care, this was designed specifically for primary care to allow that person with diabetes to use this system and feel comfortable doing so. And that's what I'm excited about. It's not, you know, we have lots of people using AID right now, but lots that aren't. And it really does make a difference in the disease burden, but also improving that time in range and reducing that complication risk.
Yeah. So at this time, it's FDA approved for type 1 diabetes. But of course, in practice, we always use things off-label. And I would imagine this could be a really good option for type 2 diabetes with its simplicity. I will say, whenever you're going to having a system that's a little simpler, you sometimes give up a little bit of maybe A1C lowering or time in range. Now, they did a randomized controlled trial, and it was published in New England Journal of Medicine. So in terms of like compared to control, the A1C lowering looked amazing, and the increase in time in range is amazing. But I kind of wonder, I'm curious your thoughts in deciding on a system, what might be some reasons that might lead a person to maybe using this new system versus one of our previously, like you said, like Omnipod 5 or Control IQ, or now we have Medtronic 780G.
Right, right. And I think that it's going to be, what is the person with diabetes in front of you looking for? How tight do they want to titrate? What are we looking? You know, we have a lot of people that want to get pregnant. We have a lot of people that need to do specific things, that need very tight blood glucose control. And so each system works a little bit differently. And really what we want to do is offer all the choices and also say, this one might be best for you because of this, but we're not here to judge you. We want you to pick what's right for you, you know? And that can be hard because sometimes people pick it because it's pink, right? I always say that as a joke. People pick an insulin pump. They're like, I like the pink one, but the algorithm and the this and the that and the, you know, so when we look backwards and we say, you know, questions for me as a clinician are, how easy is it to fill, right? How do I get that insulin into the pump itself to dispense it, right? Because if they're, you know, if it's a very tight, you know, mechanism and someone doesn't have a pinch or grasp because they have some diabetes complications and they can't do this well, is one preferred over another? I know that the iLet pump uses a cartridge, so it makes it a whole lot easier to, you know, it can use a cartridge, right? So that if someone really has a challenge, they can get them pre-filled. You know, those kinds of things. Is that different than another thing? If your A1C is 10, if you struggle with carbohydrate counting, is this a better system? And that, I think, is going to be part of our new discussion as to how to pick which one.
Right. Because, yeah, I mean, if you have the pre-filled cartridges, I think that makes it a whole lot easier. But there is tubing, and we have tubeless pump options now. So that might be a reason one person might lean toward another. This will go up to 160 units. Our other pumps can do 200 or 300. So kind of going back, because I know we, even though not approved for type 2, we're thinking type 2, a lot of our patients with type 2 diabetes are on much higher doses. So then they might have to change it all. You know, they might have to change it every single day instead of the kind of standard every 3 days.
Right.
And then to your point, I think when you have something that's simpler, sometimes you do possibly sacrifice a little bit of the tight glucose level. So for example, like you said, in pregnancy, this probably wouldn't be the system I would pick. Technically, none of the systems are approved in pregnancy.
Right.
But we know sometimes we can adjust some settings to get it to be a little bit more aggressive with some pumps to use it in pregnancy or get tighter numbers. And with this system, it's designed to truly be all automatic. So there's going to be less kind of overriding and things that you can do.
Right. To get you can't set the fasting and push that fasting less than 95, which is what the goal is for people who are pregnant, is to get that fasting less than 95. And there are, you know, there are systems that we can push that into. And this one, because we won't know, you know, we're hoping that on the downloads, we'll see a total daily dose, kind of like we do with Omnipod 5, right? It does tell you the total basal dose for the day on each different day when you look at the reports and what's happening, but you don't know what it is at any given moment exactly. So I think that will be a little bit different. And because it's less, because it's sort of forgiving in the carb counting and in those kinds of things, it may be able, it won't be as aggressive just to give it some leeway to be safe.
Right. So I have no insider information, but in my head, what I'm thinking is, right, we've got Tidepool Loop that's approved now, right? This is an algorithm for automated insulin delivery.
Yes.
We have a bunch of iCGMs like Libre and Dexcom, which means that they're compatible with different insulin pumps. All we need to close that system is a compatible insulin pump. So if the people at Beta Bionics are listening, I would love, it'd be amazing, right, if that pump would eventually pair with Tidepool to have another option, right? To have the iLet option, but also have the Tidepool option. So either way, regardless of what happens, it's really, you know, it's a very exciting time in terms of the whole pump space.
And I think what is the next step for Beta Bionics for the iLet is this dual hormone. And you mentioned it in the beginning, but that means it's not just insulin, it's glucagon,
right?
So that, and people think, oh, glucagon in a pump, glucagon I had once and it made me really nauseous, it made me sick. Well, it's microdosing of glucagon, right?
Yeah.
And so You know, instead of having to eat when you're low, the pump gives a little bit of glucagon to tell, you know, your body, give me some glucose back into my bloodstream to bring my glucose back up so that it's back to what you would do, what your body does when you don't have diabetes, which is a little bit of insulin, a little bit of glucagon, and it can titrate back and forth for you, which is really nice.
Right. And speaking of that, I know we both attended Cleveland Clinic Diabetes yes. Day last week, and that was one of the topics, was about that micro glucagon dose.
Right.
It was really very fascinating. But the idea that, for exercise, for some people, using that micro dosing can really, really help. I think they were saying for those that had islet cell transplants that they're not producing glucagon. So right. giving that micro dosing, really beneficial. So I'm really fascinated to kind of see where that whole area goes.
And you actually presented on a really interesting topic to all of us, which was type 2 diabetes and insulin pumping.
Yeah,
right? You know, again, where, you know, what did you, I know you were doing some research because you and I were talking about it back and forth while you were pulling slides together and talking about where you guys are. Can you tell us a little bit about what your talk, where it was and how?
Yeah. So, I mean, part of what I did was I presented kind of our available options, but then I dug into the research, like what are the outcomes for insulin pumps and type 2 diabetes? And there was a nice meta-analysis that showed with kind of our traditional insulin pumps before we had automated insulin delivery that they were effective for type 2 diabetes. They lowered A1C levels. They increased time and range modestly compared to other therapies like multiple daily injections. You actually helped me find an article about a very nice review article that was recently in Endocrine Practice about automated insulin delivery in type 2 diabetes. And I think what I was very surprised by is how little research there is, or published research, I should say, in that space. A lot of those trials were very short term, like in hospital studies over 10 or 20 days, or very specific populations like end-stage renal disease on hemodialysis. So that's really not applicable to the general population. Now, we do have some data from that Omnipod 5 and from Tandem Control IQ that's been put out that in a very small subset of patients with type 2 diabetes that showed, not surprisingly, if you have someone with type 2 that's on multiple injections and requiring mealtime insulin, that they do great with the automated insulin delivery in terms of A1C lowering, increasing in time and range. But these were very, very small studies. And so what is happening now are these actually large randomized controlled trials with all three of the, well, now we have four or five options, but with the Medtronic, with Tandem, and with Omnipod 5 in larger cohorts, really trying to showcase the evidence in these patients.
Because ultimately what our challenge is that, you know, Medicare doesn't cover insulin pumps for people with type 2 diabetes, right? They do cover one brand because it goes through Omnipod 5, which goes through pharmacy yes. benefit. But in order to get an insulin pump, you need to have type 1 or be not making any more insulin, right?
Right. You have to show so, C-peptide, which essentially you're not
says, right. So, so for lots of our people that we use pumps for before they get to the Medicare age, they are still making a little bit of insulin. And yet we still want to use them because they still need insulin at almost, if not every meal, plus they need a basal, right? So hopefully some of these trials will make Medicare, just like they have recently changed their criteria to get a CGM. You know, it used to be basal plus at least two mealtime making treatment decisions. We had to write these notes to get this covered, fax everything in. And now Medicare is saying, oh, wait a minute, that doesn't really make sense. Basal only, or even any other drug, which will ultimately be sulfonylurea class, right? That causes low glucose, or that a history of low glucoses, right? If we can have some proof that these AID systems work in type 2 diabetes, regardless of whether you're making insulin, hopefully one day we will get Medicare coverage for them, because those people need to take insulin when they're eating.
Right. It's true. I think, although, and I hope they'll do that in these studies, is we do need a cost-effective analysis.
Absolutely.
Because, like in the case of CGM, they were really able to showcase the improved outcomes, like reduction in hospitalizations, emergency department visits, plus the cost of CGM has gone down so much. It's like, right. It's a no-brainer. Of course, plans should cover it. I think with insulin pumps, it's still a little unknown because we don't know the longer term outcomes. We don't really know that. I mean, we know like the A1C, the time in range, we probably could collect more data for type 2 on hospitalizations, emergency department visits, but also the cost of supplies is a bit more. A lot of people think, oh, you just buy the pump and you buy the pump. But there's actually ongoing supplies. There's right. the infusion sets and the tubing and the inserters. And it's just there's all those supplies that
Absolutely.
Are an ongoing monthly cost. So I hope that they'll look at that. Now, there are also, for those, I mean, those are kind of your traditional automated insulin delivery. We also have patch pumps, which one study I reported out in this presentation with Vigo did have a cost-effective analysis as part of it, showing it was indeed cost-effective. So in this arena, we have Vigo, we also have Secure Simplicity, and then recently the Omnipod Go got approved. It's expected maybe later this year, early 2024, for that one to come out. But these are devices that are truly designed to be simple. They, you don't have data that you download. It either has, in the case of Vigo, a background insulin, and then two unit at a time boluses. Or in the case of Secure Simplicity, you take a separate long-acting insulin and then two clicks of two-unit doses. So it just makes it a whole lot easier to really take mealtime insulin.
Right. And again, each of those has its own cost, and we really need to know what makes the most sense. And what I love about clinical care is that we get to individualize it
right.
and offer those options to our patients and say, what makes the most sense to you? Financially, if there is going to be a copay, where do we go? How do we get this? You know, those kinds of things.
And I think also looking at the patient reported outcomes too, treatment right. satisfaction, diabetes distress, because that's one of the things that they especially showed in a lot of these studies was that there was greater treatment satisfaction, because it can be really inconvenient to like pull out your pen and your needle. And we know it's a huge barrier. People, when they're out and about,
right.
They forget
they do it.
They just
right.
like, they don't want to leave. Like it, they feel embarrassed, whatever the reason is. There's just a lot of barriers. And so when you are wearing something and it's just a click, or in some cases now you can do it from your phone, it's like, wow, that really makes it easier. And then that can improve outcomes just by getting the insulin, making it easier to take.
Right. Right. It's a lot. And I'm just excited that there's yet another option ready to go for us to offer.
Yeah. Because if we do have a chance of getting insulin pumps to more people with type 2 diabetes, we're really going to need it done in places outside of endocrinology.
Right.
Because there's just not enough endocrinologists, and there's so many people with type 2 diabetes. So primary care would be the ideal place to do that. And to have options that are easier to use that don't
right.
require a gazillion settings, I think offers the best chance of that actually happening.
Right. I think that when you start talking about the calculations needed for the other AID systems versus this new one, I think that will ease the mind of people who are managing lots of people with diabetes in the primary care. You know, enter the weight. You do that every time they walk in the door. You get a weight on the person with diabetes. So this should make it easier.
And then one other thing I just want to say, something I emphasized in the presentation was that we do not have an artificial pancreas. Like, despite the headlines, whatever comes out, there is no artificial pancreas. And even though this new iLet has certainly made it a whole lot easier, it's still not an artificial pancreas.
Absolutely not.
Well, it's not giving glucagon yet, but also, like, people with diabetes are still asked to do a lot. You still have to add the insulin. You still have to insert it. We get the tubing. You still have to announce meals. If you don't announce your meal, you will go high and it will play catch up and you may not feel good and it may take a while to come down. Or if you announce the meal too late and the insulin is being given at the wrong time, you might go low. So there's still, like, I just find it a little insulting to say we have an artificial pancreas, because it takes away all the work we're still asking people with diabetes to do.
I think that you hit the nail on the head. I think the goal would be to reduce the burden, but it certainly hasn't taken it away.
Yeah.
It certainly hasn't. And I think we as clinicians need to be very cognizant of how we present what the expectation is to make these systems work, right? What do you still have to do, right? When you put someone on a CGM, you never have to check again. Well, that's not really true.
Right.
You're going to check a whole lot less, right? You're going to do this, but you won't have to do that. You're still going to need to, you know, if your infusion set falls off or your pod falls off, and you're not getting insulin, you need to have supplies to fix that. You need to carry extra things with you. You need to think about low glucoses. You know, all of those things don't go away, right? They don't go away. So, and neither does all of the things that go to maintaining and preventing complications, all the screening tests. You know, lots of the people we see with diabetes need retinal exams and foot exams, and they see a cardiologist and they might see a kidney doctor. That's a lot. When you add all those, they're going to a provider sometimes every month, sometimes multiple times a month. That burden isn't going to go away with this, you know, AID system.
Right.
Right. And so I think we have to set realistic expectations and respect the decision of the person with diabetes to choose not to do any of it.
Exactly. It should always be the person's choice. I mean, I've had a number of people come to me and they're like, okay, I'm done managing my diabetes. Yep. I don't want to do it anymore. Just give me a pump.
Right.
Right. I'm like, I'm sorry to tell you.
Right. It doesn't. Right.
It doesn't
I don't
work
have
that
way. Right.
Pump,
yes.
It
right.
still works.
And they've been waiting months to see you to get that answer. Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, great discussion.
Yes.
Thank you. And thank you so much for tuning in. And we hope to see you on the next episode of Diabetes Dialogue.